Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Miami waiting for this afternoon's arraignment of Donald Trump. ABC's Rachel Scott.
This is an unprecedented moment in American history. Donald Trump waking up at his golf club here in Doral, once again preparing to turn himself over to authorities, but this time as the first former president to ever face federal criminal charges.
Those charges stemming from the hoarding of those classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. 10 people were shot in Denver last night. It happened in the part of the town where fans were celebrating the Nuggets' first NBA title ever. A new look at inflation.
After rising 0.4% in April, the consumer price index ticked up only 0.1% in May. And for the past year, prices are up 4%, which is the smallest 12-month increase since March of 2021. Prices rose last month for housing, used vehicles, and clothing, but they declined for furniture and airfares.
ABC's Jim Ryan. The Fed starts its two-day meeting today to decide the next steps on interest rates. This is ABC News. President Biden back on schedule today after having to put things on hold Monday for a root canal. ABC's Karen Travers has the story from Washington.
President Biden is holding two events today that he was supposed to have on Monday, but were postponed due to the root canal procedure he underwent at the White House. This afternoon, he sits down with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg to talk about the NATO summit in Lithuania next month. They'll focus on continued support for Ukraine in its war against Russia and efforts to strengthen the NATO alliance. This evening, the president hosts two events, a reception for chiefs of mission or diplomatic leaders in the White House East Room, and later a Juneteenth concert on the South Lawn.
And over 350,000 Jeeps are being recalled around the world. The problem, a real coil spring can fall off while they're being driven. Stellantis says the recall covers several Grand Cherokee models from the 2021 through 2023 model years. So far, no reports of crashes or injuries. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. The state baseball championships in Grand Chute have been delayed due to weather. That means that the Division IV semifinals featuring Ithaca versus Edgar have been pushed back to later this evening. Divisions III and II are now all to be determined, and the Division I semifinals tomorrow have also been pushed back. The state championships are held in Grand Chute and are scheduled to run through Thursday. Speaking of state championships, this week is also the start of the state soccer championship. It'll be Ashland taking on Edgewood on Thursday, the first day of the event. That event runs Thursday through Saturday at Eline Soccer Park in Milwaukee. And one person is dead, another person is hurt after their vehicle crashed into a road grader in Russ County yesterday morning. The driver of the vehicle, a 73-year-old woman from Bruce, was flown to an Eau Claire Hospital with injuries, while her passenger, an 80-year-old man from Bruce, died at the scene of the crash. The driver of the road grader was not hurt. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Walks has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hey guys, this is Sage from Civic Media. Are you a small business struggling to get the word out? 1260 AM Lake Air is here to help. For a limited time, apply for a $200 grant and receive $1,000 worth of free advertising. Your $200 investment becomes $1,200 with this grant. That's right, you heard correctly. Get your business notice without breaking the bank. Visit civicmedia.us or call 608-949-8989. That's 608-949-8989 for more information. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Show 7 minutes after 9 o'clock now on Tuesday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. And so far in the show, we've been discussing quite a few things, or a few different things, mainly the indictment going on today. Evidently, Trump is on his way into the courtroom to face the music, so they say. We'll get to some more about what's going on in the indictment in just a little bit. First, though, I wanted to focus again on the revenue sharing deal here in Wisconsin and the fact that the governor felt he did what he had to do in order to put an agreement together. But now many of his biggest supporters are outraged. That's the headline in the Journal Sentinel. It says, "Voucher schools see a lifeline in shared revenue deal, but Governor Tony Evers' allies are outraged." This is by Hope Karna and Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, updated about 30 minutes ago. And it says, "Educators teaching students in the state's private school voucher programs are praising a new deal between Republican legislative leaders and Democratic Governor Tony Evers, telling lawmakers this week the plan to boost funding could keep some private schools from shuttering completely. At the same time, the governor's most reliable supporters, Wisconsin's teachers' unions, are blasting the former state superintendent's agreement with Republican lawmakers to increase the payments for each voucher. As part of a sweeping agreement between Republican leaders and Evers to boost state and local funding for municipalities, public, charter, and private voucher schools will receive a boost in state dollars as well. Some Assembly Republicans, including Speaker Robin Voss, have touted the agreement as an expansion of the private voucher school programs in Wisconsin. It does not expand the programs, however. Enrollment in the programs stays the same, but it does increase the amount of money each voucher is worth, which could allow private schools to expand the number of non-voucher seats the school may accommodate. You get that? There's money flowing to the private schools, so they could add more non-voucher students, possibly. One provision being considered will increase the amount of the taxpayer-funded voucher private schools receive per student. Under the bill, payments would increase from $8,399 to $9,500, over $1,000 extra per K through 8 student, and from $9,045 to $12,000 per high school student. So that's like $2,955 per student, almost $3,000 per student. It says here, John Hoke, president of St. Thomas More High School in Milwaukee, told lawmakers Monday in a public hearing on the bill that educating one student costs far more than the current $9,045 amount and requires additional fundraising efforts. So the question I'm sure a lot of people say or would ask is, why should the government, why should the state government be funding the private schools at all? The story from the Journal Sentinel goes on and says, increasing vouchers could let some schools add seats or increase pay, Hoke said. But for others, it could mean the difference between keeping their doors open or having to end operations entirely. The situation is that dire, end quote. Natalie Andrade, director of Hispanics for School Choice, said school choice allows families to choose a school that meets their needs and shares their values. Private choice schools are experiencing tremendous growth, not just in Milwaukee, where people from both sides of the political aisle came together to authorize the first school choice program in the country, but all across Wisconsin, she said. Last year, officials at Milwaukee's Hope Christian High School, part of the largest network of private schools in the state's voucher system, announced they would be closing, citing a shortage of teachers and not enough state funding. The school opened in 2005 as part of a network that also operates six elementary schools in Milwaukee and Racine. Nearly all of its 3,400 students live in some of the most impoverished areas of the two cities. All graduates of its high school had for 12 years been accepted to colleges. Okay, now that's worth repeating. All graduates of its high school had for 12 years been accepted to colleges. So no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you would have to say that that is success if all the kids graduating from high school are accepted to college. And that's a much higher rate, obviously, than for students overall in Milwaukee. In comparison, 46% of Milwaukee public school graduates enrolled in post-secondary education within a year in 2017, according to the latest data available. Okay, so you see the difference there. 46% of Milwaukee public school graduates enrolled in post-secondary education. But obviously, not everybody wants to go to college. Some people choose a different path, maybe going to a technical school or a community college, I guess. But I guess that would be post-secondary, right? Well, maybe they go into the service or just decide that college is not for them. Some people go into trades, become an apprentice. So the Milwaukee Teachers Union says Evers should veto the deal. The voucher provisions were part of a broad K through 12 package that Evers and Republicans have said amounts to $1 billion in spending for schools and includes agreements on areas of the state budget. The agreement provides $30 million over 2 years for school-based mental health services and sets aside $50 million for literacy programs. It also will reimburse a third of school districts' special education costs, up from 30% under current law. So that's about a 10% increase, right? The union representing the largest teaching force in the state said Evers, a former state superintendent, should veto the bill altogether and blasted his willingness to make the deal. Quote, "Frankly, I can get this kind of deal from Scott Walker." Amy Mizalko, president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, said in an interview. She went on and said, "To look at this and know that the governor, a public school educator and someone who has campaigned endlessly on lifting our public schools up, there's nothing in this agreement that lives up to that." Mazzalco called the agreement a terrible deal for public education. Among the provisions, MTEA, the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, opposes is a requirement to add 25 school resource police officers in Milwaukee public schools. Britt Cutaback, spokeswoman for Evers, said the governor's actions resulted in per pupil ad increases of more than $300 per student. Historic increases to state-imposed revenue limits and general aids for schools, and the first increase in special education funding in 10 years. So here's a quote from Cutaback. So Scott Walker, whose legacy was decimating Wisconsin public education at every level, decidedly would not have and did not get this kind of deal during his time in office, Cutaback said in a statement. Governor Evers has spent his career working for our kids and our schools, and he will keep working to do the right thing for Wisconsin by doing what's best for our kids. The Wisconsin Education Association Council also called on Evers to veto the deal, in addition to a reading bill introduced earlier this week, which the union called a betrayal. Quote, Wisconsin is sitting on $7 billion budget surplus, and this so-called funding compromise only compromises our students, WEAC President Peggy Wirtz Olson said in a statement. The Joint Finance Committee will be taking up the voucher increases on Tuesday, and the full Assembly and Senate are expected to vote on the entire deal on Wednesday, tomorrow. So that's what's going on with the budget deal. Most people are pretty happy with it. It's a deal where both sides had to give up something that they wanted, right? And at least we're moving forward on the deal at this point. How do you feel about it? If you have an opinion, feel free to call in. 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown. And I want to sleep with you in the desert tonight with a billion stars all around. 'Cause I got a
this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No. We tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly, different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 82 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows dip down to about 55. Daytime highs approaching 86. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Temperatures above average Thursday and Friday with highs from the low 80s to the mid 80s. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you, shine it on my heart, so you could see the truth. And this love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now,
tasty, tasty guitar playing, of course, from Eric Clapton. And on a Tuesday morning, you're listening to the Stu Daniels Show. And I want to mention next that, as we discussed earlier, Donald Trump is often the biggest victim of all, always a victim. Everybody's after him. He can't get a break. It's almost like Rodney Dangerfield, right? Well, he is a victim of his own circumstances, that's for sure. Evidently, he can't find any lawyers to represent him. Last week, a couple of his big lawyers who were going to represent him in the Mar-a-Lago case decided to bail. Yeah, they said they've had enough of him and the whole thing, and they were out. So he had to find a couple of new lawyers for the Mar-a-Lago case, but he hasn't been able to do so. Despite the last-minute scrambling yesterday, actually meeting with several lawyers, there is a story here from The Guardian. I'll get to just a little bit of this. And it says here, Trump finds no new lawyers for court appearance in Mar-a-Lago case. And it says Donald Trump is expected to be represented at his first court appearance to face federal criminal charges for retaining national security materials and obstruction of justice by two of his existing lawyers, despite trying to recruit a local Florida lawyer willing to join his legal defense team. The lawyers making an appearance with Trump on Tuesday, today, will be the top former federal prosecutor, Todd Blanche, and the former Florida Solicitor General, Chris Keiss, according to people familiar with the matter. Trump's co-defendant, his valet, Walton Nauta, will be represented by Stanley Woodward. Trump and his legal team spent the afternoon before his arraignment, in other words, yesterday, interviewing potential lawyers, but the interviews did not result in any joining the team in time for Trump's initial court appearance scheduled for 3 p.m. Eastern time today, after several attorneys declined to take him as a client. Now, if you were an attorney, would you take Donald Trump as your client? This piece from The Guardian goes on and says, Trump has also seemingly been unable to find a specialist national security lawyer eligible to possess a security clearance to help him navigate the Espionage Act charges. The last-minute scramble to find a veteran trial lawyer was a familiar process for Trump, who has had difficulty hiring and keeping lawyers to defend him in the numerous federal and state criminal cases that have dogged him through his presidency and after he left the White House. Does it surprise you? Doesn't surprise me. Give us a call if you have a comment, 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
It's been rough and rocky traveling, but I'm finally standing upright on the ground. After taking several readings, I'm surprised to find my mind still fairly sound. I guess Nashville was the roughest, but I know I've said the same about them all. We received our education in the cities of the nation, me and Paul. Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Miami waiting for this afternoon's arraignment of Donald Trump. ABC's Rachel Scott.
This is an unprecedented moment in American history. Donald Trump waking up at his golf club here in Doral, once again preparing to turn himself over to authorities, but this time as the first former president to ever face federal criminal charges.
Those charges stemming from the hoarding of those classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. 10 people were shot in Denver last night. It happened in the part of the town where fans were celebrating the Nuggets Rockets' first NBA title ever. A new look at inflation.
After rising 0.4% in April, the consumer price index ticked up only a 0.1% in May. And for the past year, prices are up 4%, which is the smallest 12-month increase since March of 2021. Prices rose last month for housing, used vehicles, and clothing, but they declined for furniture and airfares.
ABC's Jim Ryan. The Fed starts its two-day meeting today to decide the next steps on interest rates. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. The state baseball championships in Grand Chute have been delayed due to weather. That means that the Division IV semifinals featuring Ithaca versus Edgar have been pushed back to later this evening. Divisions III and II are now all to be determined, and the Division I semifinals tomorrow have also been pushed back. The state championships are held in Grand Chute and are scheduled to run through Thursday. Speaking of state championships, this week is also the start of the state soccer championship. It'll be Ashland taking on Edgewood on Thursday, the first day of the event. That event runs Thursday through Saturday at Eline Soccer Park in Milwaukee. And one person is dead, another person is hurt after their vehicle crashed into a road grader in Rusk County yesterday morning. The driver of the vehicle, a 73-year-old woman from Bruce, was flown to an Eau Claire hospital with injuries, while her passenger, an 80-year-old man from Bruce, died at the scene of the crash. The driver of the road grader was not hurt. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More than 7,000 truck accidents happen every year in Wisconsin. These accidents can be devastating, resulting in severe damage and trauma, often more severe than a regular car accident. Gingras Thompson & Walks can help. They'll assist you not only with the driver of the semi, but also the trucking and insurance companies, making sure you receive the compensation you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Fox, GTWLawyers.com.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Moose Moon. Yes. Laying down a groove a mile wide. It's Little Feet on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And the next thing I want to get to here is what's going on with the introduction or the reintroduction of a gun safety bill in Wisconsin. You know, if we don't do anything about what's going on with gun safety these days, it's just going to keep getting worse, right? It's time to make some moves and get something done. At least that's what Josh Call is saying. The headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says, Call and Democrats reintroduce gun safety bills after a year of unprecedented violence. And it says Attorney General Josh Call and a coalition of Democratic state lawmakers reintroduced a package of gun safety legislation designed to address rising statewide homicide rates that follows a year of high-profile gun violence incidents in Milwaukee. Call, joined by Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee, Democrat, Representative Sheila Stubbs of Madison, also Democrat, and Representative Deb Andraka of Whitefish Bay, Democrat, who co-chair the Legislative Gun Safety Coalition, unveiled what he called a common sense legislation package Monday afternoon at a press conference. Quote, inaction is acceptance of the status quo, Call said. The status quo on gun violence in Wisconsin and this country is unacceptable, and we need the legislature finally to step up and take action. You know, if you look at the polls, most polls show that the majority of people want better background checks on people buying guns. Even gun owners support that. The story from the Journal Sentinel says one of the bills would expand background checks to a wider array of gun sales, closing current exceptions for guns purchased through private vendors, some online sales, and gun shows. So if you go to a gun store and you buy a gun, you have a background check. But if you go to a gun show, you don't have a background check. Is that the way it should be? The story goes on and says the bill makes exceptions for antique firearms, gifts, and inherited firearms, temporary transfers for hunting or target shooting, and transfers to a firearms dealer, law enforcement, or armed services agency. Quote, no one, and I mean no one, should be able to avoid a background check simply by purchasing a gun from an unlicensed seller, Johnson said Monday. Another bill would create a sales tax exemption for the purchase of gun safes, trigger locks, and barrel locks to promote home gun safety, while a third bill would enact red flag laws that allow law enforcement to temporarily remove guns from people in imminent danger of harming themselves or others. At least 21 states, including neighboring Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan, have adopted red flag laws as of June, according to gun violence prevention interest group Everytown for Gun Safety. More than 80% of Wisconsin households with guns and nearly 90% of households without guns support red flag laws, a Marquette Law School poll found in May. Did you get those figures? More than 80% of households with guns and nearly 90% of households without guns in Wisconsin support red flag laws. That just makes sense. In fact, you often hear gun advocates say that there is an issue with the mental health. If that's the case, then the red flag laws are probably a good idea. Andraka said these bills are overwhelmingly popular. Milwaukee saw 224 homicides in 2022, an unprecedented number that broke the city's all-time record for a third straight year, according to the Journal Sentinel's homicide database. An overwhelming majority of homicide deaths, 90%, were shootings. Although homicides are down in this year, 2023, lawmakers said the issue remains a poignant one for the city, especially its youth. At least 10 minors died in shootings since January, including a one-year-old girl who was shot and killed in a vehicle earlier this month during an argument between adults. Quote, The violence is completely unacceptable and absolutely preventable, Stubbs said. But gun violence is a statewide problem that's not confined to Milwaukee, said Daryl Morin, president and chairman of Forward Latino and a founding member of nonpartisan gun violence prevention group, the 80% Coalition. Quote, the majority of gun deaths in the state of Wisconsin actually take place outside the city of Milwaukee, Morin said, noting that a majority of gun deaths are suicides rather than homicides. Still, Wisconsin saw 348 homicides in 2022, according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, an 88% increase in 2019. Monday's gun safety bill package is all but guaranteed to fail without Republican support, which is unlikely given lackluster support for past measures. Similar gun safety proposals have been introduced and blocked in past legislative sessions without a public hearing. Democrats told reporters they had not received word from Republican leaders that the new bills would get a hearing. Quote, we have introduced these before, Andraka said, but times have changed and they have not changed for the better. Neither Assembly Speaker Robin Voss nor Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu responded to requests for comment. Some of the proposals, including tax exemptions for gun safety equipment, were included in Democratic Governor Tony Evers' executive budget from earlier this year. Republicans on the legislature's Finance Committee removed those provisions in May, along with over 500 of Evers' budget items. You have an opinion on that? What do you think? It's time we tighten things up a little bit. Red flag laws. Better background checks. How do you feel? 715-388-7155. I would be interested to hear your opinion on that. We've got 942 right now on this Tuesday morning. You're listening to the Stu Daniels Show, and one thing we've talked about in recent days is the blockade going on in Congress right now in Washington. Evidently, the hard right, the far, far right Republicans decided they weren't going to play ball anymore with McCarthy and decided to block all votes. But now it looks like they might have broken the stalemate, according to this headline from the New York Times that says the hard right agrees to allow House votes but threatens a continued blockade. Republican rebels who blocked action in the House for the past week said they would allow votes on Tuesday, today, but warned that they would wrest control of the floor again unless leaders met their demands. It sounds like they're holding their guy, Kevin McCarthy, hostage to get what they want. This piece is by Annie Carney, reporting from Capitol Hill for the New York Times, and starts out this way. It says, hard right House Republicans agreed late Monday to give their party leaders a temporary reprieve from a week-long blockade of the House floor, allowing some legislative business to move forward on Tuesday, but insisting they would withhold their support for future votes if their demands were not met. The move counted as progress for Speaker Kevin McCarthy after days of paralysis in the House that showcased his weak grip on his fractious conference. In the face of the rage of right-wing Republicans over the deal he cut with President Biden to suspend the debt limit and avert a federal default. But the agreement was only provisional, and the group of about a dozen ultra-conservative lawmakers who have held the floor hostage made it clear they plan to continue using guerrilla tactics to keep a tight leash on McCarthy, effectively exercising veto power on what he is able to accomplish. The House remained at a standstill on Monday evening after McCarthy canceled scheduled votes, but under a deal he reached with the right-wing members of the House Freedom Caucus, business was set to resume on Tuesday, today, with votes on legislation to guard against restrictions on gas stoves and other government regulations, as well as a separate bill to kill stricter federal rules for pistols with stabilizing braces, according to people familiar with the discussions who spoke about them on the condition of anonymity. In conversations on Monday, the people said members of the rebel group were explicit with Mr. McCarthy that he could not count on their support for bringing up any other legislation next week or in the future until they had worked out a power-sharing agreement that guaranteed them major influence on the legislative agenda. Last week was the first time in two decades that members of the majority party in the House had sided with the party out of power to defeat a rule, a procedural vote normally considered routine and almost always decided along party lines with the majority unanimously in support. That move meant that, at least temporarily, McCarthy was left as Speaker in name only, with no governing majority behind him. In talks with Republican leadership on Monday, the rebels made it clear that they planned to make a habit of it. Still, some of the 11 Freedom Caucus members emerged from talks in McCarthy's office on Monday saying they would support the rule they helped to defeat last week to call up the regulatory measures as long as it was adjusted to include the pro-gun legislation championed by conservative Republicans. McCarthy called the meetings productive but conceded that more talks would be needed to reach a resolution. Quote, "We know when we work together and work on conservative issues, we were winning and we get more victories that way," he told reporters Monday evening at the Capitol. "And I think everybody wants to get back to that place." McCarthy said there appeared to be a willingness to work out differences, but conceded that doesn't mean it is all locked together. It means we thought that meeting was great, so we're putting other ones together. Earlier in the day, McCarthy said he was willing to keep the House on pause for another few days if it meant Republicans could get it solved so it doesn't keep erupting all the time. That's what we expected when McCarthy had to cut all those deals just to gain the speakership. Interesting to see all that happening on the right side of the aisle, the ultra-conservative members battling it out with McCarthy and the less conservative members. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
I won't forget when Peter Pan came to my house, took my hand. I said I was a boy. I'm glad he didn't check. I learned to fly. I learned to fight. I lived a whole life in one night. We saved each other's lives out on the pirate deck. And I remember that night when I'm leaving a late night with some friends. And I hear somebody tell me it's not safe. Someone should help me. I need to find a nice man to walk me home. When I was a boy, I scared the pants off of my...
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 82 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows dip down to about 55. Daytime highs approaching 86. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Temperatures above average Thursday and Friday with highs from the low 80s to the mid 80s. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 63.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, about 9.5 minutes away from 10 o'clock now. Final segment of the day for this program. And I found an interesting article on Yahoo from The Conversation. This is about the big news of the day, the indictment, Donald Trump going to court today to face the charges. The headline on this piece says, if you want to die in jail, keep talking. Two national security law experts discuss the special treatment for Trump and offer him some advice. Do you think Donald Trump has received special treatment? Yes, he has. This is a conversation with Thomas A. Durkin, distinguished professor in residence at Loyola University Chicago, and Joseph Ferguson, co-director, National Security and Civil Rights Program, also at Loyola University Chicago. Says here that Durkin has spent much of his career working in national security law, representing clients in a variety of national security and domestic terrorism matters. Ferguson was a national security prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Illinois, where Durkin was also a prosecutor. Both teach national security law at Loyola University Chicago. The Conversation's U.S.'s democracy editor Naomi Shallet spoke with the two attorneys about the federal indictment of former President Donald Trump on Espionage Act and other charges related to his retention of national security-related classified documents. And she posed this question to these professors. The word weaponized has been used by Trump, his supporters, and even his Republican rivals to describe the Department of Justice. Do you see the Trump prosecution as different in any notable way from other Espionage Act prosecutions that you've worked on or observed? And the first professor, Durkin, says, obviously it's different because of who the defendant is, but I see it in kind of an opposite way. If Trump were anyone other than a former president, he would not have been given the luxury of a summons to appear in court. There would be a team of armed FBI agents outside his door at 6:30 in the morning. He would have been arrested, and the government would be immediately moving to detain. So the idea that he's being treated differently is true, but not from the way his supporters seem to be arguing. The other professor, Ferguson, says, what you have is a method, manner, and means of pursuing this matter and bringing it forward to indictment that actually completely comports with the deepest traditions and standards of the Department of Justice, which would normally consider all contexts and the best interests of society. The next question to the professors is, if Trump were your client, what would you advise him to do? Durkin says, the first thing I would do is show him a guidelines memo, which we typically create for every client to help them understand the potential consequences of the charges. Under the U.S. sentencing guidelines, the consequences for Trump under this indictment are serious. My quick calculations indicate that you're talking about 51 to 63 months in the best case, and in the worst case, which I'm not sure would apply, 210 to 262 months. Whether he wants to roll heavy dice, that's up to him, but those are very heavy dice. The other professor, Ferguson, says, I might pull media statements that he has made in the last couple of years and explain to him how they have complicated the ability to defend him. I'd put on the table to him that I need to see every statement that he is going to make in the political realm about this before he makes it. I'd tell him he's otherwise basically hanging himself. I'd tell him, if you want to die in jail, keep talking. But if you want to try to figure out a way that brings about an acceptable resolution, a plea deal that opens the door to a lighter jail sentence than what the guidelines threaten and possibly even no jail time, you need to turn it down or at least have it screened by your lawyers. The next question to the professors, are there specific things he might say between now and a trial that could deepen his trouble? Ferguson says no question about that, and people should understand that the things that he said already are being used as evidence of intent. From now on, the repetition of them constitutes new admissible evidence. It's not like, oh, I've already said it, so I might as well keep saying it. That does not mean that he cannot offer the broad brush characterization. I'm being wronged. This is the weaponization of law enforcement and the justice system against me, and I will be vindicated. However imprudent I might think that was, but anything that goes beyond that and into the actual particulars, referencing the documents themselves, will just make it worse. The next question is, the Trump indictment provides extensive details of what was said and done. Do you take those as true or as allegations that need to be proved? And the first professor, Ferguson, says both. They are technically the allegations that need to be proven, but when you're speaking at that level of granularity, these are things that actually exist in proof, the proof that is to come. The government basically raises the bar when it provides this form of granularity. The federal government is at risk-averse enterprise. I should say the federal government is a risk-averse enterprise when it comes to these matters, so nothing is put in the indictment unless it exists in actual fact. Durkin, the other professor, says, if you're defending someone, you treat the allegations as true. The next question says, can you imagine a situation with all of the facts laid out in this indictment, but where they would not indict? Professor Durkin says, no. The other professor says, that's why we both say that in fundamental respects, this isn't different from other national security cases. These cases work from the premise that this is a fundamental compromising of the interests of the United States. And those are the cases that the government pursues tooth and nail. With so much in the public domain, and with so much of the defendant himself speaking to all of this, it almost puts the government in a position of saying, well, okay, if we have to, here we go. Professor Durkin says there's only one reason the government could not bring the case, and that's fear of violence or an attack on the Republic. Once you do that, then you might as well close the Department of Justice and forget about any rule of law. It's where we're at now. It's indictment day. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Stick around. I'm sure we'll be covering it all day long here on your local Civic Media radio station. And I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 till 10. Everybody have a great day. Thank you for tuning in.
This is my home. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. Oh, yeah. Where I belong.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO.
That's 20 ads per
per day for 2 days every hour.
This weather sponsorship buy one get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan.